This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN. This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets up.
This is GOAT Madness.
Region exposure. That's where we go right now, Gordon Damer. And I was telling Harvey during the break, I give Pele a lot of credit. He hung in there with Prince.
Not easy to do.
Not easy to do.
You know, I was just thinking as we were playing those clips.
Yes.
If we did 64 wrestling catchphrases.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we could come up with something pretty good there as well.
Yeah, that might be something for next year.
Yeah, might be.
Might be.
Well, look, in terms of GOAT Madness, still in the thick of it. And everybody could always criticize, why'd you put this person here? Why'd you put that person there? The results from yesterday, that's region number three.
Yes.
We are now left with four in that region.
Yes.
And they are the top four seeds.
There you go.
It's Tony Soprano, it's Michael Jordan, it's Babe Ruth, and it's Prince.
But this audience loves Soprano. They love
it. Cannot. The show has been off the air for 25 years now. They still love it.
It's unbelievable.
No, maybe not 25 years, but it's not been off the air long enough that you would think that it would start to dissipate, right? You're out of sight, out of mind. But no, not the case.
It's like it's on right now.
In its heyday. All right, let's move to region number four. This is the final of the regions to get to the next round. And we will start things off, Larry, with another number one seed. We are yet to lose a number one seed. And the number one seed from this region is...
I got 99 problems, but a ain't one. I got the rat patrol on the patrol.
All right, let's clip it a little quickly. You know, you have to be careful on these things.
Just in case.
That is the number one seed, Jay-Z. You talk about styles make fights. The number one Jay-Z against the number eight, who is...
Can you believe this ball game at Shea?
Oh, brother.
So the winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
I left that play for Larry. It's been a rough week for Larry. We need some highlights for Larry, so there you go. It's been a long time, but...
Long time.
It's getting to be... You know, when I was growing up, it was the Rangers 1940.
Yeah.
1986 is not that... At this point, it's not that far away.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a sign. I have died. Now I can die and go to heaven.
So there you go. That's our first matchup. Our second matchup, this is another good one. The number five seed, who is...
Right here, you got to beat Ric Flair one more time. Remember, Steamboat? And, pal, I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. But to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here.
To be the man, Classic. You have to beat the man, Larry. That, if we did one Classic. Of wrestling catchphrases, I feel like that would have to be a number one scene.
There's no question it would be. No question. I mean, he would have a bunch of them, though.
No, he would have a bunch of them, yeah.
Your mouth.
He would have a bunch of them.
A bunch of them.
Limousine riding, airplane
right,
flying.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd have to have more. It might have to be the whole region of just Ric Flair, right?
It might be.
Especially if he turns out to be the GOAT. We'll have to give him his proper respect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He will go up against the number four seed, who is?
First hole of the playoff, Tiger Woods, or is Birdie?
Running after. He ran after. He got there before the ball did.
All right, so there you go, Tiger Woods.
Wow.
Not as much personality from Tiger as you got from Ric Flair, but then again, who does?
No. Mm-mm. Rough.
You're rough. All right, moving on. The next matchup, the number 6 seed, who is...
Game, set, match, Djokovic. 3 sets to love, 6-3, 7-6, 6-3.
Novak Djokovic reclaims his crown in New York and reaches his 24th major championship.
Yeah, 24 major championship, but wow. Is he the GOAT, Larry? That's the question.
The question.
And to be the GOAT, he's going to have... Oh, boy. He's dealt with some issues on the court.
Oh, yes, he has.
I don't know if he's ever faced an issue like the number 14 seed. Who is?
The New York Giants, first round selection. Lawrence Taylor, linebacker, North Carolina.
I think the Joker may be going home early.
Mad Dogs.
I think the Joker may be going home early.
Yeah, I think Joker's getting into a little bit of trouble. I think the Joker...
Might be over.
It might be over for the Joker. All right, so, and then our final matchup for the night in the fourth region, Larry, it is the number 10 seed, who is...
I've never worked a day in my life. I went from player to coach to a broadcaster, and I am the luckiest guy in the world.
Yes, that, of course, the great John Madden. He goes up against the number 2 seed, who is...
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice. And I'm going to stick to his butt like white on rice.
That's right.
That was the greatest of all time.
There he is. He's saying it himself. He is the greatest of all time. That, of course, Muhammad Ali. So those are your matchups for tonight. Jay-Z versus Vince Scully. Tiger Woods versus Ric Flair. LT against Novak Djokovic. And John Madden against Muhammad Ali. Larry, voting is now open.
I would love to see and it might happen in this region. Can you imagine a Flair-Ali?
I was thinking the same thing, right? If you get down to those two guys for a spot in the Final Four, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. Yeah.
At Hardesty, ESPN, at Gordon Damon, at ESPN NY 98_7 FM. Voting is now open, and it's going to be interesting. This is, as I thought so, Gordon, the fourth, I thought, was always the most competitive bracket. Mm-hmm. And you talk about styles making fights. This is a good one. Jay-Z and Ali in the same
right.
Same region. That's a good one. That's a real good one. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Manny's in Flushing. Manny, you are next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good evening, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Manny.
Listen, I'm about to go to sleep now, but that being said, man, it's just frustrating to say the least. We're losing 3 in a row. My issue of those 3 is straight. They don't rebound the ball well. If you watch the games, they don't rebound the ball. All they do is just stand there and doing nothing. I mean, from Hartenstein to Robinson and Gachua and even Hart in some degree. And, you know, they don't make stops. They always do slow starts. Larry and Gordon, you've been watching this team all your life. They always start with the slow starts, which I found it disappointing and just frustrating. Look, I get it. We don't have our 2 starters. Can you just at least play a little effort listen, I get the refs part. Listen, the refs don't like the Knicks. But at the same token, have effort every minute, every moment. That's my issue with this team. They don't rebound the ball well. And if they don't rebound the ball well, they always stand there. They don't defend the 3. And that's my biggest issue in those 3 games. We could have at least won 2 of the 3 instead of losing 3 in a row. And at some point, something needs to change. I mean, you know, yes, Anunoby and Randle may not be back until the playoffs, but you can't always depend on them. They got to depend by themselves, or else we're going to be in the danger of plummeting to the standings.
Well, say this, Manny, and thanks for the phone call. I understand your concern. Tonight's game is one of the few that the Knicks get out-rebounded. They normally go, they're number 1
they're fifth
in the
NBA in rebounds per game.
And first in offensive boards.
Right.
So they normally do a really good job with the offensive boards and with rebounding. Tonight, though, Gordon, when they went small, it did hurt them on the rebounding side. And and they rely on Josh Hart to get a lot of rebounds for them. I mean, he had 7. What do you have? 7 tonight?
6 tonight.
Six rebounds tonight. Mm-hmm. So normally he's a double-digit rebounding guy. They had nobody in double digits with rebounds tonight because, you know, they were trying. Here's what happened. And listen, you give Miami credit. Because Rozier was hitting the three,
right.
He spread them out.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're moving away from the basket, and you know, you got some long rebounds. They did do some challenging. This is a Knick team that, you know, starts out slow sometimes. And,
yeah.
You know, with the way they're performing and the, you know, the issues they have, and with Jalen Brunson not getting off to the quick start, Gordon, it kind of took the, you know, I think they rely on him to get them going, and he just didn't have it tonight. From the beginning, showed you some spurts late, but just didn't have it.
Yeah, and I mean, Hartenstein, I know he only played 18 minutes. He had one rebound.
Yeah,
that's unusual. And Mitch only played 10 minutes. He also had one rebound. So
yeah.
I don't think that's indicative of... Now, look, rebounding is effort. And mm-hmm. if you're saying guys are starting to wear down because of the grind of the season and the shorthandedness, I would think that that's one area that you might start to see some
yeah.
letting go of the rope.
Yeah, you just.
I don't think it's going to be an issue moving forward, but you know, tonight it is what it is. But yeah, they didn't do a great job. I would think that the rebound, that's probably one of the fewest amount of rebounds they've had in a game mm-hmm. this year.
I would agree with you. And you know, plus the physicality of the game, mm-hmm. not making excuses, just watching the game. The physicality of the game, mm-hmm. you know, as you get late in the game, Gordon, it's hard to run.
Yeah,
it's hard to run after those rebounds. It just
fatigue
is.
Fatigue you know, makes cowards fatigue. Of us all, right?
It really does. It really does. There's no question about it. And once again, you know, you look down that bench, not a whole lot of people down there.
It's the same guys you keep looking at. You know? You go in the fridge, you're looking for a snack, and there's nothing in there. And a couple hours later, you go back to the fridge, you open it, and it's still the same stuff in there.
Yeah, you know, here's all you need to know about tonight, Gordon, right, from a rebounding standpoint. And that's, you know, not the whole thing, clearly. It's not that. But here's all you need to know from a team that normally rebounds very well. Achiuwa had 7.
Mm-hmm.
Hart had 6.
Mm-hmm.
Bogdanović had 5.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Right.
Bogdanović had 5 rebounds. So, listen, give the Heat credit. They spread them out. Terry Rozier was unbelievable. He hit everything. And the Knicks just didn't have answers for him. And they tried their best. It just wasn't good enough. So now they put this game behind them, and they have to, you know, get ready for a Sacramento Kings team that can't wait to come and get them because of the way that how the Knicks treated them in Sacramento. So they've got – there's another team that, you know, has got a little revenge in their heart.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting.
Well, you know that you're not – you got a day. Rest up. Do what you mm-hmm. got to do. Some yep. Epsom salts.
That's it.
The hyperbolic chamber, whatever it is.
Yep.
And get ready to go to work.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, the thing is you, some teams have the luxury, you know, they've built up a big cushion. So those teams, I think, you know, you can rest guys, you can, you know, the teams that have built that cushion. But for a lot of teams, you can't, and particularly teams that have been shorthanded all year. You know, you just got to find ways to win games. And that's the challenge. Every team's different. Every team has different challenges. So you just approach it day by day.
Tom Thibodeau on trying to balance winning and not wearing out his players. Hardesty and Damer on ESPN New York Tonight, chatting with you at 1-800-919-3776. Gordon, the other thing that was kind of interesting, and part of it is you give credit to Miami's defense. Jalen Brunson turned the ball over a lot tonight. And his assist to turnovers has been really outstanding for most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He had 5 turnovers tonight. So Tom Thibodeau was asked very simply, why?
Well, you know, the thing, he's not going to play great in every game. No, there's no player in this league does. And so the challenge is to still find a way to win, which, you know, he did a lot of good things. I think, he, you know, it's pretty good when you have 20 points and 10 assists and the game is tied with, you know, a few minutes to go, and you know, it wasn't an A-plus game for him, but he's going to compete on every possession, and that's all you could ask of anyone. So missed shots shouldn't impact him.
Well, I tell you, he's got a lot of respect for Jalen Brunson, Gordon, because he covered for him very well. Very well. you're not going to play well every night. And it's true. What he's saying is true. There's no question about it.
It's true.
There's no question, but, you know. They were, and some of them, Gord, were unforced errors. Like, he dribbled it off his foot one time.
Late in the game, yeah.
It was just like, you know, unlike Jose, I was waiting for him to just take over in the fourth quarter. You know, I expected for him, like, it was, you know, it was one of those games for him, but he normally responds in the fourth quarter, Gordon. He's been the closer for this team.
No question. And I was saying on Saturday, you know, we always talk about Brunson, and is he the best Knick since Ewing? Is he at the level of Ewing yet? I'll say this. He's the most beloved Knick that I have ever been in my time watching the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's the most beloved guy. Because
yeah.
Ewing, as much as he was beloved, there were people that kind of
hated him.
Yeah, kind of hated him, right? Like,
yeah.
Didn't feel like he ever lived up to the expectations of when mm-hmm. he got here. And yeah. that certainly was true of Carmelo. I mean, those two guys, usually like the most beloved Knicks are the secondary guys. It's a John
exactly.
Starks or an Oakley or somebody like Mason. That. Brunson, if you're a Knick fan, you are a Brunson fan.
Yeah,
100%. I have not seen anybody anywhere saying, well, you know, I like the Knicks, but this Brunson guy, I'm not a huge fan of. That mm-hmm. person does not exist.
No. No, you're right. Lonnie's in Harlem. What's up, Lonnie?
OG Larry, Gordon, Sir Harvey, Joe Leo, company, how we doing? Good evening, good night. Listen, OG, are the Dopplers working over there in Citi Field? What are we doing?
I don't know.
I mean, why do the Mets constantly do this to their fans? I swear, if I was a Mets fan, I would be like it makes no sense. Cause and I just told this to Joe, the Mets fans themselves, y'all got to start wising up. Like, they continue to do this to y'all. They make y'all go to the stadium to sit there. You pay for parking, which I know is like $40-something. Then, you know, if you with it, you know, if you with your kids or you with your wife, your girlfriend, that's another probably $40-$60 that you're spending. You're almost spending $100. That's on top of the ticket money. I just told us to Joe, I think Mr. Cohen needs to be out in that parking lot just doling out $100 bills to everybody after all these games. You can't keep postponing these games, especially when your team is already horrend. It's like, come on. Like, I feel so bad sometimes because when Allen said, oh, there's a two-hour window to get this game in, I said, is the Doppler broke? What are we talking about? There's a two-hour window to get the game in. It's pouring out here. I mean,
and it was pouring all day.
Gordon. It's just like, I was like, what is he talking about? And like I said, at this point, Mets fans, sometimes you just got to say, you know what? Even if the game goes on, I'll still be able to sit at home and watch it. You won't mm-hmm. be suffering driving there or taking the train there. Then sitting in the rain in there, this is to be sent home. I mean, Mets got to do better. That's all I really wanted to call in and say. Oh, also, the Knicks, you know, tonight, unfortunately, you know, Brunson was getting beat up. It's Miami. It's the Knicks tax. We just don't get the calls that we should get. Like Tibbs said at the end of the postgame, he was getting fouled. He was getting fouled. He was getting fouled. He was getting fouled. So my radio was broke because he kept saying it.
And also, thought it was the Doppler over at Citi Field.
Exactly. The Doppler was broke, and so was the radio. But listen, I also wanted to personally, hopefully, you know, I don't want to say it's an invite because, you know, always you guys are always invited. But I'm hoping to, you know, see you guys on May 2nd. I know, Gordon, it might be a trip for you because I know you're all the way out in Jersey. But, hey,
yeah.
Listen, maybe you can meet up with Santee at the station and then he could drive you over. I'm not offering Santee services, but hopefully,
right.
you know, maybe you could talk to him. He could drive you over. Larry, you're already in Long Island. So, you know, hopefully we can make this happen. And you guys have a great night.
All right, Lonnie. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for checking in.
I appreciate that.
You know, it was very nice of Lonnie to invite us out.
I'll just say, I think that there's a better chance of seeing Steve Cohen handing out $100 bills in the parking lot than you seeing me on that day.
Huh.
It's not. It's nice to be invited, though.
It is nice to be invited.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
you do have duties.
I do have duties.
You do have sports desk duties.
I do have duties.
You know, so that's going to be tough for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very tough for you to get out of those duties.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, because they're sponsored duties.
Right.
Not just duties.
Right. I got, yes, big duties.
Huge.
We're 7 years old. That's at the end of the day. We are 7 years old.
That's it. And getting younger. Yep. Getting younger. Every minute, Gordon, getting younger. Yep. Getting mm-hmm. younger. I am very curious to see. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on Nesta Cortez, because mm-hmm. for me tonight, and I'm not comparing them talent wise because there is no comparison. But once again, for him, I thought he did a decent job, Gordon. In the he had a bad inning,
yeah.
But then he buckled down, and you know, there's something to be said. El Duque used to do that when I was covering the team. He might have one bad inning, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. Andy Pettit. Once again, I'm not comparing them. No. I'm not. But I'm just saying that's the one thing. You have one bad inning, but you shut him down. And listen, Gordon, he's kept the team in the game, and with the offense the way it's been, you know, you still got a shot.
Absolutely. You'd sign for the, you know, giving up three in the first is not ideal, and giving up, what is it, eight hits or nine hits, mm-hmm. whatever he ended up giving up, that's a little, you do that enough times, you're gonna really run into trouble, but you would sign for this, right? You give up three runs in five innings from Nestor, given what he's coming off of last year, you would take that. Now you just have to hope that the offense eventually wakes up, because outside of Soto, Volpe, and the MVP to be in Orlando Cabrera, Oswaldo Cabrera, not a lot of offense from the Yankees tonight.
Not a lot of offense. Not a lot of offense. Gordon, I got to tell you something. I've been listening to the station all day.
Okay.
And some of the callers and comments I've heard have me scratching my head. I'm stunned. I'm just stunned at what I've heard. I've heard from, he's overrated. He's not that good. To, we got to pay whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we got to pay to keep him. He is Juan Soto. And Gordon, I want to hear what you got to say, because it's amazing. It is amazing that to have that far a range mm-hmm. of reaction to a player who, Gordon, has a world championship and has been pretty good for a while. It's unbelievable. I want to get your thoughts next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
50?
That's what I'm thinking.
There are a couple different ways this can go. This could be an AAV play where the average annual value breaks the highest mark. You know, right now, if you look at Shohei Ohtani and you take that net present value as opposed to the value without deferrals, yes, he's going to get paid $70 million eventually for every year that he plays with the Dodgers. But the actual present value of that's about $46.8 million. You could do that, or you could go for total value and look at, you know, 500 plus. But if he can shore up his defense and can play the way that he did throw the sliding catch, I mean, clutch plays and sound defense in right field, nobody will have a thing to say about him other than, how much would you like me to write onto this blank check, sir?
Jeff Passan on the Michael K. Show yesterday here on 98.7 ESPN, and obviously the topic, Juan Soto, who has got off to an outstanding start with the Yankees so far in the first five games. He even has a hit tonight, even though the Yankees haven't been able to get a run across as of yet. And Gordon, as I mentioned, it's amazing. It's been a wide range from Yankee fans of reactions to Juan Soto. It's like, he's overrated. He's not that, I heard some people say he's not that good.
Who are these people? I need to get eyes on these people to actually be able to judge them properly, because clearly I don't think they've ever watched a major league game. And we probably should get them to let us know what their name is so we can stop taking their advice on anything. Juan Soto is fantastic. He's one of the best hitters in baseball right now. And here's the thing. You pretty much know what he's going to end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been pretty consistent. And he's hitting free agency at a really good time. He's still really young. I think, like you a lot of times, Larry, in terms of, to me, it's not about the money. It's about the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be happy here. And I think that if he's happy here and the Yankees win, I think that he might forego the most. Now, it's still going to be a lot of money, but I think mm-hmm. he might forego the most overall dollars right. to be in a situation that he's finally in a spot where he likes after dealing with the whole San Diego thing and that not working out and wanting to clearly not be in Washington long term. So we'll see. It's pointless to worry about it because he's going to get paid a lot of money. I think it's not a surprise to anyone, especially not the Yankees, that he's going to be a free agent after this season. I think like when the Knicks made the deal for OG, when you make that deal, you know part of it is we're going to sign this guy long term. He's not just going to be here for the short term. He's going to be here for the long term. So I think he's going to be here with the Yankees in the long term, but that's only going to be determined probably after the season. And in the meantime, I'm going to really enjoy watching Juan Soto every single day because he is as good a hitter as there is in the sport.
I mean, and I get it as fans. You're tempted, okay? You want to look ahead. He's a free agent. Oh, we can't afford to lose him. Look what he's doing. Look what he's done in the lineup. Look, I mean, Kay was talking about it today, how, and you mentioned it too kind of last night, how he grinds out at bats.
Oh.
Everybody else now is starting to do that again the way the 90s team did, you know, which was so good at taking pitches and getting into the bullpen. And maybe, you know, maybe the starter got you, but you built the pitch count up and you got to the bullpen, the middle relief, and you got to the middle relief and, you know, that's how you got back in the game. And so he's had an impact on this team already. So from a fan standpoint, I do understand. Like, we can't let this guy go. You know, for me, with the Knicks, like, I don't know what it's going to take. Brunson, for me, Brunson cannot leave the Knicks. Like no, he can't go. Like, whatever it takes to sign him, that's what you have to do because of the impact that he's had. He's changed the culture for this team. So I get that. But unlike the NBA, it's 5 of 162. You've got a long time to just sit back and watch and enjoy him.
Be thankful.
And yeah, because you haven't had a player like this. I mean, think about that. You now have two of the top players in baseball on your team, batting behind each other.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say Ruth and Garrick or, you know, Mantle and Maris. I'm not going to go that far. But Gordon, they're pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
And so
pretty
you
good,
should
pretty good tandem to have.
Yeah. So you should be enjoying it. Don't worry about what happens at the end of the season. We just started.
Right. Yeah, why would you worry about that? And look, here's the thing. As great as I, you know, I love Aaron Judge. I think Yankee fans love Aaron Judge. Juan Soto is what, 6 years, 7 years younger than Aaron Judge?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And what are we looking at, Gordon? I mean, Passan's talking, Passan and Kay were talking 12, 13, 14 year deal?
Yeah. I mean, what did he turn down in Washington? It was a 14 year deal then, and he was 23 then. So. It's going to be for a lot of years. It's going to be for a lot of money. I don't know what it's going to be. I think anybody who's throwing numbers out there right now is just kind of guessing and just trying to put together an educated guess. But it's all guesswork right now. And it's almost like, how many home runs is he going to hit? I have no idea. Yeah. How many runs is he going to drive? I have no idea. How many walks? I have no idea. But I'm interested to find out. And if this is just, and I think that this is just kind of like the tip of the iceberg. Now, he's not going to hit 600 every day, but he's going to be an offensive dynamo at the top of the lineup, and you would like to think that when Aaron Judge comes up, more times than not, there's going to be somebody on base. And Juan Soto is going to be on base a ton. Nobody walks more than him. He's going to hit close to 300. He's going to be, have an on-base percentage of over 400, and he's probably going to slug well over 500.
Yeah. And behind him is a guy who has a pretty good eye for the plate also.
Yep. Sometimes, so a whole lot better than the umpires a lot of times because he's still
getting
strikes out on low pitches. You would think by now we would have fixed that problem, but no, that's baseball.
There was one tonight that almost bounced in the dirt that was called a strike.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And you would think, you know, whatever happened to star treatment, right? Like, we're talking about Brunson. He doesn't get the star treatment.
No.
Judge doesn't get the star treatment either.
No, not at all. Not at all. Kirk Cousins' cousin did something very bad a couple of minutes ago, Gordon.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he gave up a three-run homer. Yankees now.
All right, well, look.
Six-nothing.
You can't win them all, and fortunately for the Mets, you can't lose them all, so likely this is going to be the Yankees' first loss of the season.
Well, we don't know yet.
Well, it's 6-0 in the seventh inning. They have three hits on the night.
They do.
Yeah,
they do. They do. They do to have a big inning and get back in this game. You know, they do. That's what happens. But, yeah, I was just – it's just, I mean, overrated. And then the other side of it goes, just pay whatever – just pay everything. Just what we got.
Right.
Break the bank. We got – and look,
Well, I think break the bank is probably going to be a whole lot closer than he's overrated.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
And here's the thing about Soto, too, that Yankee fans are going to love. He plays all the time.
Every game.
He plays all the time.
Every game. Always out there.
Mm-hmm.
Every game.
And when they went out and got Josh Donaldson, I think part of it was they thought that he would kind of bring a different attitude to the clubhouse. I think Juan Soto brings that, and he's far more productive. You have to be productive to bring a different attitude. I think you see guys already kind of trying to copy him in terms of working at bats and grinding out at bats and stuff like that. He's got a little swagger that is not generally associated with the Yankees. So if you're coming up with issues surrounding the Yankees, there are far more than enough of them. Juan Soto is not one of them. He's not on that list.
It is going to be interesting, Gordon. This is not a bat-flipping franchise.
Not generally, no.
And so, it's going to be interesting to see how they, adjust to that. Because he's an emotional guy. He wears, he enjoys the game.
Well, look, as long as he doesn't grow a beard, Larry, we'll be fine.
No, we can't have that.
Oh, God forbid you have a beard. Oh, my God.
No. Mustache is bad enough.
Yeah.
And you got to get permission to get a mustache.
Right. I don't think Juan Soto doesn't suit a beard.
No,
he's got a very nice smile. He doesn't suit a mustache. Yeah. He looks good the way he does.
You think he has a nice smile now? Wait till he signs that new contract.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's going to be smiling. And he won't be hiding his teeth like Robert Saleh in his commercial.
No.
He'll be showing all his pearly whites. He'll be just, it's going to be
how many head coach? When we find out what Juan Soto's contract turns out to be, 10, 11, 12 years, how many Jet head coaches do you think we'll have in that span?
Well, if we go on history, probably about 6 or 7.
Right.
They normally average
couple,
about 2 years.
2.5 years, right?
Yeah, on average.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hang around long.
Not generally.
No, they don't.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
And again, it says 10 free throws, but, he's getting fouled. I hate to say it, it's that simple. He's getting fouled.
Is Brunson getting fouled, Gordon?
What I'm picking up from Coach Tibbs, if I'm listening correctly, reading between the lines, I believe he's getting fouled.
He's getting fouled.
A lot. A lot. And it's an issue, Gordon, because it just throws his whole rhythm off. You're penalizing him from going to the basket. Because when he goes to the basket, he's getting beat up. So he's not being rewarded. And listen, like I said, when we started the show, I'm not going to talk about the officials in the game because you could talk about them all in all. But I mean forearm, just all the offensive fouls that weren't called, pushing in the back. I mean, all the things that Miami does when they play you. They are a physical team. That's how they play. That's who they are. That's their identity. And when they're able to play that way and get some scoring, they're a tough team to beat. Now, they're not the most, talented team in the league. But, Gordon, they just like the Knicks. They grind you down. Everything is every possession is hand-to-hand combat with them. For you to beat them, you have to pick up the pace. You got to get out on the run. And before they set up that physical half-court offense, and the Knicks just didn't do that tonight. And that's part of the reasons why they were in the situation they were in.
Well, I think if you told the Heat that if you bang Brunson around, he's going to go to the foul line. I think that they would probably, for the first three quarters, they'd probably take that to just kind of wear him down.
Yep.
Now, if you're knocking him around and he's not going to the foul line every time, well, then they would certainly take that. Yeah. So it's kind of a double benefit to the other team. So Tibbs is doing his best to kind of get it in the minds of the officials and hope that pays him some dividends. I'm sure Tibbs would be more than happy to pay a fine to get Brunson a couple more foul shots every game.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. Speaking of basketball, Gordon, did you see the ratings for the Iowa LSU Elite 8
game
yesterday?
Yeah. Big numbers, right?
12.3 million viewers on ESPN. The most viewed games in any sport other than football over the past year. Football is just...
It's a juggernaut.
Football is...
I say this all the time, and people think I'm kind of joking. It is our national religion at this point.
It
happens once a... Well, it happens more than once a week, but, you know, happens primarily on one day. It's the perfect time of year. As the things get cold, you don't want to go outside. It is as big as anything has ever been.
I mean, and it is perfect to bet on.
Perfect to bet on.
Perfect
to bet on.
Perfect. They used to even, they even tell you who's going to play, who's not going to play. Mm-hmm. They make it easy for you. They really do. The game, Gordon, outdrew all but one of the five games in last year's NBA Finals. And the clinching game of last year's World Series, which was 11.48 million. So they beat that.
So here's my question, and I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So when Caitlin Clark or the stars, because we've seen at other times when there's a notable either star player in women's college basketball or a notable team in women's mm-hmm. college basketball,
mm-hmm.
that we haven't seen these numbers per se, but we see these jumps, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is interest. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't that translate to the WNBA?
It's a great question. It's a great question.
Because I'm guessing if Caitlin Clark, is she a senior this year, right?
Yes, she's leaving.
Okay.
Yeah,
so when she gets drafted number one overall,
mm-hmm.
and she goes to whatever team, maybe they'll see an increase in ticket sales.
I'm sure.
But in terms of TV ratings, are we going to start to see a jump as a result of Caitlin Clark? Maybe we do... when it first starts, but mm-hmm. it just kind of feels like these star, like Diana Taurasi or whoever the big female stars are in college, it seems like there's more interest in them there than when they turn pro.
Well, this is going to be interesting because she's a record setter.
Right.
So, and once again, there's a debate, interestingly enough, about, you know, she's speaking of the greatest of all time. You know, is she the greatest college player of all time, basketball wise? And can we say that if Iowa doesn't win a championship? Like what determines your greatness? Now, this is a person that's got the scoring record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's got the assist record. I think she got 140 assists. I was reading somewhere in her career, which is a record. So she's not only a scorer, she also has great, you know, great court vision. I mean, so with the attention that she got, and also really stemming from going back and forth with LSU last season,
right,
to bring that forward to this season. And oh, by the way, Paige Beckers with UConn mm-hmm. is right there also. Even Juju Watkins from, you know, in the game last night, you know, in the second game of that Elite Eight. Are right there, and Gordon, that whole South Carolina team that just runs through
right
of the women's part of the tournament. So it is going to be interesting to see, you know, how her fame and publicity transforms to the WNBA. I'm sure ESPN and ABC are very looking forward.
Is it a and again, I don't know. Is it a structural thing with the WNBA where? They just don't have the ability to capitalize on stars. I'm not sure. Is there something different about women's college basketball where they're able to capitalize in a way that the WNBA? Because we've seen it before, not to this mm-hmm. degree, but
right.
we've seen it before in other things where there's things that get the attention of the casual fan,
right?
But then it goes to the WNBA, and it's like, oh, whatever happened to so and so, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting observation to see how this turns out, because this might be the difference maker because of the publicity that has followed her. And also, Gordon, it's going to depend where she goes.
Do we know who has the number one pick?
I do not know. But
Indiana, well, that's not good. you don't want to be going to Indiana.
No, you don't. You know,
no. Is there a way we can, is it, can we, Can she demand to be traded to a big market? I mean, it would be crazy not to have her in a big market.
Be like the Liberty or L.A.?
One or the other.
Yeah, you would think.
Now, I know she's doing it at Iowa, but it's a little different story in college basketball.
Absolutely. It is. It is. So it is going to be interesting to see how that turns out. I'm fascinated by it. And plus, we're going to see her with the big three, right? She's going to play in that big three.
I don't know. Did she say yes to that? She'd be crazy to turn down $5 million.
I really believe she's going to play. I haven't seen whether she's going to, whether she said yes or not. Gordon, $5 million, I'm playing.
Usually if you hear $5 million and somebody doesn't say yes right away, it's a no.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I'm sure she has good people advising her the best way to capitalize on this, but.
Mm-hmm. I'm going. I'm playing. I'm telling you right now, I'm playing.
Oh, well, look, I mean, you and I would be there. Absolutely. What time do you need us?
Yeah, no question. And remember, you know, I mean, I don't know how much the commercials cost, but she might take a pay cut going to the WNBA.
Well, the highest paid player in the WNBA is making $230,000. I don't know what the pay scale is for a rookie coming in, but it can't be more than the highest paid player in the sport.
No, it can't be. I don't think so.
I would not think so.
No, I would not. I would not. So it's going to be it's going to be fascinating to see where she goes and how that transforms, you know, the league and how everybody responds to that. You know, yeah, you're putting us on the map, but, you know, everybody, all right, let's see what you can do at this level.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's going to be some players who have already been playing in the WNBA. So, all right, it's great that you did all this stuff in college, but this is a different level.
Yeah, let's see.
Might not
let's
be
see.
Too happy with
see what you got here. You know, exactly. And that's going to make the game better. All right, my friend, be good on the updates tomorrow. See you tomorrow night.
Sounds good, Larry.
That wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. We thank you for joining us as always. Harvey Joe, thank you very much. Once again, vote on the brackets for the GOAT Madness. We'll see you tomorrow night on 98.7 ESPN.